Hello, we are Ubermensch, and today we are joined with Virginia. Virginia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. I had a nice ceremony last night.
Oh, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Now, I'm presently preparing a tour for Europe, and I'm working with several moose shamans that I haven't worked with before. Part of the old group will be going with me, and we always like to take new ones so they can get experience in working abroad. And I've had the opportunity to to work with a brother of one who I've worked with. And the brother is older, and he happens to be the maestro, and we did a very nice ceremony last night. It was a lot of dark energies, which I'd known had to be cleaned, and I was very happy that they saw the energies without me having to say anything, and they cleaned.
Oh. So, is that something that happens frequently, where you'll see the dark energy and someone else won't, but in this particular case, they saw it too?
Yeah, shamans have different capability levels. Momentarily, there's a lot of shamans down here. It's a bit of a touchy subject, because the business of ayahuasca is tending more and more in the direction of commercialism, and some of the shamans that are cropping up aren't really shamans. So you have to be careful who you work with. You have to know who you work with, and you have to be careful that they're really working in an upright, correct manner. And if you don't have any experience in this, you don't know what to expect. You don't even know what are the basic things that are needed in a ceremony. And if you aren't trained, you don't see. And so generally, when I work with a new shaman, I don't tell them about my background. They should be able, if it's a good shaman, he should be able to see the dieted or plant that dieted, should see my energy, and he should see what I'm capable of doing or not doing. And if he can't do that, then he's not an accredited shaman.
Hmm. So how did you start working with plant medicines?
I come from a business background, and I had a dream, and it told me to go to Seven Oaks. So I Googled Seven Oaks, and it's an educational center in the United States, and they were offering a course in shamanism from the Michael Harner Foundation. This is an excellent course, which I took. And at that time, I had no experience, no knowledge about shamanism. They knew this, and they accepted me in spite of that, and I made my first experience there. From there, I had a second dream that told me to go to Peru and work with plants. I booked a flight and found the center and started working with plants. And the first time I drank, I had a lot of visions, which is not normal. It's not typical to have visions like first 10, 20 ceremonies that you have. That's something which many people do not know. And they realized that I was gifted in this area, and I knew I was home. And since then, I've been more or less down here studying the plants.
Hmm. Now, when you went to the Michael Harner Foundation, were they teaching how to induce trance via strictly drum work, or?
They were working in drum work and energy levels. They do not work with plants. They give a well-founded and well-grounded basic educational level on shamanism in all areas, how to do soul retrieval and things like that, and I found it extremely useful, this course.
I see. And so you did feel that the work that you did there translated well once you actually reached Peru?
Yes, it translated very well. And I did also make the mistake, I have to say, that I did not think that they were shamans in the beginning, because they're all Occidentals like me, and I didn't realize that an Occidental, I was very unknowledgeable. I did not know that an Occidental could also be a shaman. My direction is with the plants. That's clear for me. But there are also other directions in shamanism which are also acceptable and very high. You do not work with plants. You do not always have to work with the plants if you're in another direction.
Okay. And so what plants have you worked with?
Well, I did originally a one-year diet, and I worked with four plants, which I dieted the entire year: morosa, chai, tobacco, and pinyon blanco. After that year, I took a six-week break, and I didn't feel like I was really ready to work as a shaman. And I did a two-year diet, working with approximately 12 different plants. One of them was Toei, Ayahuma, Aristachia Cosmica, Coca, Chai, Pinyon Blanco, Tobacco, and Morosa were added again, Ahosacho, Matika. In the meantime, I've also done other diets, short ones for 3 months, including Rosa, a red one, and yellow one, and Rosa de Jericho, which is a very interesting plant and it's over 3,000 years old. It has incredible knowledge. And momentarily, I diet Mandragora.
And so when you go on a particular plant diet, for those who aren't familiar, what is your particular process?
Well, there's several different processes. Basically, the diets that I did, the year and the two-year diet were traditional diets. These diets are very strict. You're in isolation. You have very little food. Basically, there's four types of fish you can eat, and chicken, and platanos, and that's it. There's nothing else. We got one fish a day and 3 platanos and a drink called Chapo. That's a mixture of the smashed platanos with warm water. And there's no seasoning. You use no creams, lotions, toothpaste, soaps, or anything. You are isolated. You meet with your shaman. Oh, it's different between once a week to one time I didn't see him for 5 months. You work with the plants alone. You take ayahuasca itself very seldom, and you work primarily on your own with the plants. They're very hard diets, and you go through all levels of your past and present and future lives, and they're very intensive emotionally. The shorter diets of 3 months are also, the food restrictions are the same, but you are working, you can work, and you're in a normal society, and you can balance the energy so that you're not as ultra-sensitive to everything. The diets also definitely include no sexual activities, but also in a strict one, you have no contact with people who have salt.
Oh, very important. And you say that it allowed you also to see past and future lives, is that correct?
Yes. Yes, you go through everything and you travel in a sense that you are in trance situation without taking plants, without taking ayahuasca, for up to, the longest trance period I had was 10 days. When I was just basically in my tambo. A tambo is a house that's in the jungle. It's made a bit more comfortable for us in the sense that it's 4 meters by 5 meters and it's closed in with mosquito netting. In that, you only have a bed and you have a table and no electronics. And I have 40 journals that I wrote during this time that I would be interested in finding someone who would support me to making them into a book, because it's just filled with a lot of fascinating and very useful information. I don't think books like that exist anywhere. And you just work with plants.
I would definitely read that book. That sounds very interesting.
It's hard.
So how would you? Oh, sorry. Please go ahead.
No. Go.
How would you convey an ayahuasca experience to people who have never had one?
Okay. Every ayahuasca experience is different, and basically there's some misconceptions concerning the ayahuasca experience. That you take ayahuasca, you sit there, and you get lovely visions, and the shaman comes and sings to you. The chant Ikaros, that's the name of the chant, and then you go home healthy and happy. That is not true. Ayahuasca experiences in general are a lot of hard work. You have to, it's good when you die before, so the body's a bit clean, and you have to work too in the ceremonies, and you have to work after the ceremonies. Generally, you don't get visions in the first 10 to 20 times because your visions are blocked through the things that you have inside of yourself that have to be cleaned. They block the vision. Or it could also be that the situation is very rough, so the plans protect you and don't show you everything. You just be too overwhelmed by what you would see. You can, in the beginning, so the ceremony itself takes place in a house called a maloka. It's a round building, and you drink the ayahuasca, which has been prepared by the shaman. The client drinks first, which sometimes makes some clients nervous, and that shaman drinks at the end. After about 40 minutes, sometimes longer, the visions begin or not. There are two sections there. There's a mariazon, that's a physical feeling that you have, and you can also work when you have this. And then there's the vision. There are two distinct different things, and you combine them. And if you have visions, you can sometimes see patterns. The patterns are different colors, and they're often medicine which they transport. It's to note that during the time we diet to build medicine, and the medicine is in our body. And we transport this medicine through the cows into the clients in order to heal them.
Hmm. That is very, very interesting. So when you say that a client has to work on themselves, what kind of activities do you typically see clients needing to do to themselves after an ayahuasca session?
And it's good when they meditate. It's good when they keep the diet a while so that they can just hold as much as possible. And they have to learn to remain centered, because you get a lot of information that can sometimes rattle people. And you get a lot of information that sometimes makes you uneasy. And the plants also play with the people. They test you, and they want to see how serious you are in working. And they don't always give you correct information. So it's not like you can see something one-to-one. I should do this or I shouldn't do that. It could be a test to see, also tempting you. If you happen to be a person who has addictions, they might just be telling you then afterwards, well, it's okay to go out and smoke it on the joint or take another glass of wine and we'll take care of you. So it's very, you have to be centered, and you have to learn to center yourself. And it's also expected in the ceremony that you are centered. We know that some people have difficulties in ceremonies, but there's also levels where we expect and try to bring the people that they remain centered, that they don't, it is not there, a ceremony is not there to tell everything, to flip out, to be natural. Because in some cases, for people who have more difficulties, it leads to them being unstable and attacking other people. No, this is not accepted.
Mm. So you definitely feel that that a meditation practice would be definitely beneficial later on during a ayahuasca ceremony?
Yes, in any case.
Do you have any experience with dream work as well, or?
Yes, I'm a dreamer. Some people are dreamers, and I'm a dreamer. I've always been a dreamer. I'm a lucid dreamer. I can go back into my dreams, and I can change them around if I do, like, not always, but you know what it is. I haven't gotten to the level where I can say I want to meet this person and work with them. But if that person comes into my dream, I can work with them. And this is a very powerful level that you can change things and you can heal people that way. We also can do long-distance healing once we've worked with a client. It means, like, if I've worked with you already and you have a problem, you can mail me or you can call me up, and we can send you energy and we can work on you on that level.
Wow. And do you feel that ayahuasca has helped your dream work as well?
Definitely. Definitely. It is very conducive for people who are dreamers.
And I noticed that you mentioned that you worked with Toei too. Is that correct?
Yes.
What was that experience like?
Toei is a very special plant, and it's not one that I would recommend to anyone to take or use unless they're in a controlled and supervised situation. It is not to be played with, and it's also, I love Toei. She's listening to me when I'm talking. That's fine. I have to be careful. But I would really be careful about using this as a diet plan for somebody. It was an extremely difficult diet. I dieted four plants a year before I did TOE, and I thought, well, I know what a diet is like. I can manage it. And I mean, the first night I took it, I was in the Maloka with my colleagues. There were many apprentices there. And I drugged the plants, and maybe 5 minutes later, I re-entered the Maloka, and I was completely disoriented. Mm. And I'm generally not a person who gets lightly disoriented, and I'm very centered. And my behavior was not acceptable, but they knew what was going on. And I was walking on people, trying to find my space. I walked into the screen, and I just thought, well, maybe if I'm quiet, nobody will notice that I walked on them. And the next thing I knew, I was back in my space. I knew there was a time lapse. And my son, who was quite young, he was 17 or 18, had just arrived, leaned over and asked me, Mom, is everything okay? And I was thinking, no, nothing's okay. But I told him, yes, everything's fine. But I knew I was a mess. And the next morning, I walked into the dining area, which was not typical that I went into it, but I wanted to see if my son was still okay. And all the apprentices were saying, one apprentice said, oh, you were very funny last night. And I just thought, what was funny? And they saw through the look of my face that I didn't know what was going on. And they all laughed and started talking among themselves and saying, oh, I knew she didn't know. And she didn't realize anything. I'm like, what didn't I realize? And apparently, you know, I was just a bit aggressive, not my normal area. And the next night, my maestro told me to take the plants and go to my tambo and stay there and not leave it the next year. I went to the tambo. I took the plants. I was in my tambo. You mean, this was an open one that time, no screening. And it's only 4 meters by 5 meters, and you have only basics there. So I wake up, and I'm in my bed, and I think, fine. And I hear there's no chanting, so I know it's late. And I just, you know, breathe and just touch my body, and I think, oh, something is not okay. I didn't have on the pajamas that I had. I mean, I'm not a person with a problem with nudity, but I didn't remember not taking them off. I didn't remember taking them off. So I looked for my pajamas. They were nowhere in the tambo. I looked in the whole center. They were nowhere where you could think they could possibly be a place where you would take them off, like the Maloka, the shower, your friend's house, your son's cabin where you close, the swimming pool, nothing. And I got worried. And Toey spent the next year taking me out on journeys in the night. I would wake up in the middle of the jungle. I was later moved to the center alone. Nobody around and no gates, no fences. And I would be really in the middle of the jungle with no clothes, no shoes, no flashlight, and not knowing where's my tambo. My maestro would say, why didn't you look at the stars and orient yourself? Well, couldn't find a place in the jungle that I could even see that many stars, so I couldn't orient myself. And I'm not a jungle person well enough to know how to orient myself in different trees and stuff and know the signs. And it was quite frightening. And this went on the entire 2 years. And it's really a heavy diet. And it's not without its dangers. And you have to know that in an ayahuasca ceremony, there's technically nobody dies in the ayahuasca ceremony. There's no after effects in the ceremony unless you happen to mix things that you shouldn't be mixing. Then you can have problems. But there are master plants, and TOE is one of them, who do kill people on diets.
Mm.
So warned, diets are only be done with an accredited shaman in a supervised situation.
How has been your experience working with tobacco?
Tobacco is very difficult on the stomach. You purge a lot, and it's a wonderful plant because tobacco is the only plant that I know of that congeals with every plant and brings all the plants together. The plants are like people. They have different personalities. Some are males and some are females and some are both. And some get along and some don't get along. So if you don't know what you're doing, you might be taking plants that just disagree with each other.
Have you, I can't remember if you said this in your list, but have you had experience with San Pedro or Chuma?
No, I don't work with them.
Okay.
They don't They don't. So I work in a strict Shipibo manner, and they maintain, and I also, that San Pedro does not congeal with the ayahuasca.
Mm.
But we do respect people who work with only San Pedro. It's not that we're against San Pedro. It's just that it's two different types of directions.
So, in what way, if you could personify, would you say that that the feeling of San Pedro and ayahuasca disagree with each other?
I can't say a lot about that because I personally haven't worked with San Pedro. I just know from all my colleagues that they say there's conflict. They choke each other.
Mm.
You wouldn't get the visions when you're working with the ayahuasca, and you wouldn't get the benefits of working with San Pedro. Although, I mean, I have met people who work with both of them and have no problem. So there's always caution to be used when listening to such an interview as this in absolutes. And I do not maintain that I know the truth of all truth. That is not at all the situation.
So... what do you think this is a bit of a difficult question to phrase, but how do you feel about the plants moving out of these kind of more indigenous traditional settings and moving to the West, where possibly people don't really know what they're doing?
There is a tradition of plants in the West as well. So I live in Europe, and I know several people have been dieting plants their whole life there, and they're just different plants. So in almost all cultures, you will be finding people who work with plants. I just happened to find the ones in Peru, and they hit me, and so I started working with the plants here. But there's not any reason to ignore the plants in your own country. It's often beneficial, and that's why I started dieting European plants, because it helps me more with the problems with the people in Europe dieting with these plants. So there's also a culture of plant medicine abroad.
Would you say, do you think that a culture of healing with ayahuasca would do okay outside of the Amazon?
We work with it in places where it's legal and abroad. The ceremonies are different. They have to be a bit adjusted, and they're more intense, and the energy level is usually a lot more high and sometimes more aggressive than it is when you are working within the jungle. Optimal is in Peru, in the jungle, because you have the plants directly around you, you have the atmosphere directly around you, and you can call them in, and you can connect them a lot easier and settle down the energy level that needs to settle faster.
And can you tell us a little bit about your center, actually?
Well, we're a group of diversified people. Some of them are Shipibo and some of them are Occidentals. And I have been working on this project basically my whole life, because I always had the dream of a intercultural village where people can live together, more sharing, and I also have experience in communal living and know the downfalls and the pitfalls in that, where it can lead very quickly to corruption and the problems with having common properties towards the private property and to the necessity for synthesis there. And we are in the process of purchasing a large piece of property so we can begin building, and we plan to begin building after I return from my next work abroad. And it will be a village where people can live and work, and not only with the plant medicine. We want a normal village, because a lot of us have families, and not all of our families are in the plant medicine. We like the diversification. The plants are also diversified. And we see the necessity for letting people live how they want to live and develop how they want to develop. To give them space to develop and not force them to develop if they don't want to, because not everybody wants to develop as far as other people, and that's okay too.
So what do you feel is your next move in your project?
Concretely, the next move is we're purchasing the property, And we're creating a team of people coming down who volunteer to help us with the building. It will be a self-sufficient village off the grid. And we have several friends who are experts in the field. We have several who are abroad now studying things that are needed. And they will be coming down here to make the concrete steps of building. And we forecast that probably in October we will be up and running to have clients come in. We will be living there right from the beginning, though, with our friends and family.
Ooh.
We also want to have enough space so that around us so that people who want to move in and have their own private property, maybe build a house themselves, can be loosely connected with us, so the space for them, and also enough space to have enough gardens so we can produce the medicine plants that we need and a quality of medicine that we want, because it's getting to be more and more of a problem with having enough plants.
I see. Well, is there anything that you would particularly like the audience to know, or anything that you'd really like to say?
I would suggest that everybody who has the time do a year diet. just find a space in your life and do it, because it's the most rewarding and most richly educational time you can have at all. And personally, anybody who has interest in the project and can support in any manner with things, with money, with knowledge, we're very grateful for anything. Also, anyone who wants to help organize, we're open to all types of support in any manner. And people often write and say, yes, I like your project. What do you want me to do? We don't want you to do anything. We want you to move in with your energy, with your knowledge, with your space, and do what you can do best in the manner you can do it, because that's the project. It's a project from people for people, and it works when everybody's working with their energy and not just thinking, well, I'm doing it for somebody else. You're doing it for yourself. You're creating the life that you want. You're creating the surroundings that you want. And that's what we want.
Well, Virginia, thank you very much for talking with us today. It's been very, very enlightening and pretty fun.